Father, we have prayed that you please bless the sharing of God's word today. Every time we open your Bible, it's full of blessings. It's full of enlightenment. By it is your servant warned, and your saints are perfected. Times have changed, leaders have changed, cultures have changed, society has changed. But God, you never change. Your word has stood the test of time. Father, we thank you. Father, I pray that you please borrow us wisdom from your word this morning, healing from your word this morning, encouragement from your word this morning, hope from your word. Equip us, Lord, by your word. Father, let the eye of understanding be enlightened, that we may know together with all the saints that have gone before us, the height and the depth, the width, the breadth. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we have been speaking about a few things regarding the Lord and some of the challenges that the Bible puts on us. And expectations as Christians, because we at times there's the tendency to think that once we read our Bibles, we pray, we come to church, that is Christianity. But it's a lot deeper than that. And I think the Lord has been, if you go through your notes from the beginning of the year prior to now, the Lord has been showing us a lot of things that he spoke that he expects us to abide with. So this morning, I want to speak about something, just something that I've learned from the Bible that I think is going to be useful. It's useful for me when I remember it. And I pray the Lord will remind us. It's something that has been very amazing to me in the nature of Christ and in the nature of those that walked with him. Something that we may easily forget. You know, when you ask most Christians, we can quote precise passages in the Bible. But there's a wisdom, and we hardly ever title them, but the title of the message this morning is The Wisdom of God on Us. The Wisdom of God on Us. And if there's enough room to add to it, as revealed in his word. Right? But if it's too long, let's just call it dealing with one another in wisdom. Dealing with the world with wisdom. And I wanted to go through a few things that I've learned, because as you read the Bible, we're not just looking at doctrine, theology. We're looking at how the teachings of Christ impact us as people. I think I've said it many times that when I read the Bible, I mean, by now, for instance, let's take a book. All of us would have at one point, except for the children. Actually, with the children, we've read a few Bible books. There are books that you'll be very familiar with. That any story from that book, either in Sunday school, kindergarten, some you would have heard it before. But always, when you read the Bible, there's a wisdom that it impacts to you. There's a way it influences the way it modulates the way we think. And a few of these, one of the things in the Bible that teaches me this in a very strong manner, one of the books is the book of that Paul wrote to Philemon. And I think we've talked about it before. I just want to talk about it again. But before we go there, to Philemon. Someone should please read from Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible is very rich, and I think we should take a lot more, we could take a lot more from the Bible than the surface may suggest. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6.
Let your speech always be with
Jesus, that you may know how you ought to answer each one.
Let your speech always be with grace. And then that expression that you don't expect to see. You expect to hear the word seasoned with salt only from Wayo people, right? You know, when you hear his mouth is sweet, you know, salty, sweet. But here, I remember when I first read this, I had seasoned with salt. Is the Bible saying we should be corny? You think that the Bible, everything must be addressed like that, in the upfront, frank way. But here it's saying seasoned with salt. And I remember a long time ago, that got me curious that this isn't what I expect. Mommy, what does the Yoruba say? Do you have a Yoruba Bible? I'm curious to... Every other person here barely speaks Yoruba. I know. I want to bring something out. Don't worry, I'm not going to speak in tongues to you. Okay. We are going to interpret it. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Grammar Ned, really. I know. Have you ever wondered about this passage? Here's the Bible saying you should spice up what you say the way salt spices up food. It's so counterintuitive to everything. I mean, when you think about the prophets, they're calling people out, talking to nations. John the Baptist saying, it is wrong for you to take your brother's wife. And here, I'm learning Paul, and of all people to say it, it was Paul. Paul, Mr. Very Frank. Paul, Mr. I stood to Peter's face and told him that why is he pretending by not eating with the Gentiles? And now he's saying, I didn't see much of seasoned with salt in that particular episode. Mommy, what does it say? I didn't check at home. That's the Ajayi Crowder's interpretation of seasoned with salt. He did not mention salt here. Sorry, just bear with me, guys. I know, you see, sorry, Mommy, one moment. Okay, Mommy, sorry. I went to a French, Brabumi was there as well, a French fellowship. They were the Ivorians, I think, Cameroonians, French speaking, and they had praise and worship in French. I mean, it was mostly in English, but there were lots of French, whatever the right English is, happening that day. And I felt for the first time how Sister Megan and how you guys must feel when we raise some Yoruba songs and you can feel the groove, you can see, but you can't really understand. You just know there must be spirit in there somewhere. So I apologize. Just bear with me for a moment. Yeah. Yes.
E je ki oro yin ki o dapo mo ore ofe nigba gbogbo eyi ti a fi iyodun ki eyin ki o le mo bi eyin o ti ma da olukuluku eniyan lohun.
I will interpret it. Let your speech always be with grace. It's transliteration, actually. Have you thought about it, brethren? And the Holy Spirit is appealing to every one of us sitting down and giving us a strong stand. You know, when you say his mouth is sweet, it's not a compliment. Sorry, when you say he's speaking as Sodom, it's not a... And here's the Bible say, you must cautiously make sure that the words you speak are seasoned with salt, are filled with grace. It says, so that we may know how to answer not just one another, unbelievers. Christ is putting a burden on each one of us here that we cannot ignore. It basically means that as saints, we cannot just say what is true. We can say what is true, but we can't say what is true anyhow. There's a time to withhold, and there's a time to give. There's a way to answer. I had a meeting on Friday. Let me talk about myself. And the project I'm currently on, I have a particular character on that project that Satan sent. You know, some people just try your patience. And for months now, this person had just stepped on my authority, taken away my initiatives, just done everything. And I had a meeting on Friday and I'd had it. And I just had it. I mean, I'd resolved for months that as long as it does not impact, I mean, I'd taken it personally. I would, well, because I'm a Christian, but also because I'm aware that it's necessary to keep team cohesion, right? For months, but for some reasons, on Friday, I asked this person to stay behind after the meeting and I gave it to him. And after I'd given to him, the Holy Spirit said, well done. You have done exactly what you want to do, and you have lost all initiative. And I said, Father, I'm sorry. I was saying the truth. And I think I may have gotten the message across. But for some reasons, I still wasn't satisfied. Because there's a larger purpose. I really do want to be, I want this person to leave this project saying, I've met another kind of person. And I did not succeed in that on Friday. We did not fight, but I gave him my right. I put him in his place. Moving forward, this is what it's got to be. But I enjoyed better all of those months when it had been, okay, I hear what you say, but think about it this way. It's a lot more work. And this passage comes to my mind in periods like that. Let your word be filled. What is grace? Unmerited favor. Let your word be filled with the kind of favor that the person listening to you does not deserve. How many of us succeed in this? Yet this passage is lying in Colossians 4:6, waiting for judgment day to open up itself to us. Mommy told me something last Sunday. Two things before we continue this, because it was as if I preached a message for 1 hour. Sorry, because I've been preaching long messages. And then mommy preached a message for 5 minutes to me. And you know me, I will tell you. She didn't know she was preaching to me. She said, my son. She said, your shadow. Everybody's shadow. He said, ni ojo idajo. Ojiji re. That means your shadow. We stand next to you like a human being. Mommy, I continue. Everything we do, your shadow will be recording it. If you do it in darkness, your shadow will record it. When you lie down and think about anything, your shadow is recording. It's the witness against you on judgment day. That I'd always wonder why we have shadows. Then second thing does not go with the sermon, but I'm going to say it because it's profound. It's incredibly profound. Mommy said to me, said, oh, mommy. said, I said, how are the people, how is Nigeria? Because see, wahala is no problem. Said, once you have contentment, if you have one room and you have contentment, you have no problem. So you cannot sleep in three rooms at the same time. Once you start sleeping in three rooms, that means you are sick. Said, there's no peace. He said, there's no problem. If it's Gary, she didn't say this, I'm adding this one. If it's Gary you have and you drink it, and you're content in Christ, it's taking, hunger is taken care of. Hi, you interpret my guy. If it's conflicts, no problem. That's the only similar thing to God. Gary is American Nigerian conflicts now. Whatever you have, be content. Oatmeal. And now Paul is saying to the body, together with all those lessons, let your words be filled with grace. Grace, once again, God's people, if we're going to serve Jesus, means don't give to someone what they deserve. Give to them, in your words, what they do not deserve. The kindness they do not deserve. With the words of my mouth, says James, we can set a whole civilization on fire. The tongue is a little thing. It can make and it can break. All of us have power in our mouth. Someone once said to me that when you see someone in church, just saying to someone, you look nice. Oh no, Sister Folake, that's not why I told you. Your jacket is really nice. So don't think that I'm trying to practice the sermon before I preach it. That jacket is really nice. I mean it when I said it looks nice. He says, for some people, that may be what we make their day. He says, some people, you will give them money, and money is not what they want. What they need is just a kind word. With a word, with this, we have a word of power on our lips, and we can dispense it. But for us Christians, especially, the word grace and seasoned with salt is significant. May the Lord Jesus Christ empower us to use our tongues to bless and not to curse. To use our tongues to heal and not to injure. To use our tongues to bind up the brokenhearted. To use our tongues in the same way that Jesus used his body, spending it for the healing of mankind. Tongue, let your words be filled with grace. That means when it's doing like this, and it will do like this, and it's about to come out, when it gets to the tongue, another thing should come out. You can't control what's happening there. You and I know that. Only the Holy Spirit can control what's happening here. It's just at times, when it's annoying, it's annoying. But you can control this, according to James. May the Lord grant to us the grace. The issue is that there's no verb here most of the time. No verb. And there ought to be a verb here. There are lots of times that someone annoyed the Lord Jesus Christ and he will withdraw, and just so the disciples will know that he knew, that he knows that what this person just did is annoying, he'll say, tell me, the kings of the earth, from whom do they ask for tax? Is it from the freedmen or from strangers? Say, from strangers. So the children are free. Nonetheless, so that we will not offend them, go and catch a fish. Is the Lord essentially saying, I know my rights. If I wanted to give it to him, I will give it to him. But nonetheless, for peace sake, and that's just the filled with grace part of this passage. When you're about to give that worker, that co-worker, what he deserves, remember grace. Because by grace, he did not give us what we deserve. May the Lord help us. It's hard, but let's start practicing it. And then we'll be like Jesus. But the part I really want to focus on today is it's seasoned with salt. Because at times, many times, we have good cases and we don't know how to present them. At times, there have been many good intentions that have been misinterpreted because we do not know how to have our words, what? Seasoned with salt. I remember Banker used to make mixed vegetables and broccoli and all kinds of things. And these girls, where are they? They wouldn't take it. They just, anything green, just wouldn't take it. And I am kind of used to having my own greens also seasoned. In a four, in a way do, in, you know, all of those things, just, you know, good things, right? So, she did something. She would boil the broccoli, the white thing, the green, and all of the cauliflower, yeah, and all of that. Then she'll put some butter, put some salt, and it will become really creamy. And I found they were smaller and not that wise then. Not knowing that they were eating the same thing they rejected, they started swallowing it, and I really loved it too. You have made something that was good for them, that they did not know was good for them, palatable and presentable. I remember this one would not eat when she was younger. Now she can't stop eating. Now we don't even know where all the food is going. And I remember there was a day I was so concerned, so I decided to blend the pancake. I noticed she liked semi-solid, what is it, pureed, yeah. So I decided to blend the pancake and milk. She was wasting, I was tired of fighting, so I just put the whole thing in there, and whew. So for some time we'll blend pancake and milk. Something that was unpalatable, we found a way to present it to them. It's not every good idea that is easily accepted. It is incumbent on us to think through how we may make the good idea presentable. So at times, many of us find ourselves that the good we intended to do ends up being causing problems for us, because we have not learned to have our words seasoned with salt. The material is good. Toast, what's happening? You're waiting for communion. I also saw Toast sitting by the bread. Grandma, please make sure she doesn't take onto communion. Anyway. We must always pray that God will give us the grace to present even the truth we go out to. At times, we want to go on evangelism, and we end up annoying the people we are preaching to. Not because we don't have the truth, because we have not learned how to make a presentation that is seasoned with salt. Paul was an expert, and the book of Philemon. Open to Philemon. Philemon is less than a page long. Hardly ever quoted, but it's one of the most profoundly practical books in the Bible. And you must wonder why the Lord just stuck that few paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, short, maybe 20 paragraphs in the New Testament. And I challenge each one of us to study the style of Paul in this book. It's written there for our learning. and begin to apply it. Let's read it. Just a brief background. A slave had run away and ran to Paul, a Christian slave, from a Christian master. Wisdom of God, have your words seasoned with salt. Are you following me? This man had lost a property. The property was a Christian. The man that lost the property was also a dear brother, an active member, a contributor to the work of the Lord. This slave ran to the apostle. And the apostle sat down in wisdom and went, "What should I do?" He had a few options. He could go, "Slavery is inhuman. I could tell this man, free this man. How can you own a brother?" But the man of God thought, that wouldn't work here. He was well within his right to make a case to Philemon against slavery. Those of you who want to speak, I'm so tired of hearing Christians speak against homosexuality. I'd rather say, can you not just look at the peg in your own eyes? We have a self-righteous way of addressing some social issues, or divorce, or prostitution. And at times, the way we address these issues condemn those whom we need to lift up. But there's a proper way that shows the love, the empathy, that shows we understand what holds them bound. Not by placard, not by outright condemnation of social issues that predate Christianity. This was one of those in Paul's time, the issue of slavery. I wonder why Christ never once directly addressed it. Why none of the apostles directly addressed it. It took William Wilberforce, John Newton, Christians, at the right time, in the right environment, to address it legislatively. But here was Paul dealing with a very sensitive issue of his time. At times we make judgments, but people, it's not always the way you think. There are lots of stories behind many things. Things are not always the way they appear. You may see an action, but at times the motivation is much deeper than the action that you see. And if you are not careful, if you are just addressing the action, you are just addressing the symptoms. So Paul was here. He could have gone, just set the man free. He wouldn't walk. Paul was capable of being blunt. He was blunt with Peter. Christ our Lord was blunt with Pharisees and Sadducees. They were not shy. These are not men that are shy regarding calling out people who are wrong. But it's not always that way. Things, you know, situations differ. You see someone in the office, and maybe you see a very cranky woman in the office. As far as you're concerned, you work with a witch. What you may not know as a man is that every month she's dealing with issues you can't even understand. How many people does she want to explain that to? There are so many angles to a story that it takes the grace of God to understand. Verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. the wisdom of God, brethren. I bet you, Paul was totally opposed to the idea of a brother being sold as slave. When he put his pen to paper and began to speak, his words were seasoned with salt. To Philemon, my friend. You hardly ever see Paul calling people his friend. So you see that the wisdom of God was kicking in his addressing a sensitive situation. Not only my friend, my fellow worker. You know when you join someone to you, it's tough for them to say no. If he just says, Philemon, my disciple. Or Philemon, I've had several Bible studies with you. What I say you must do. You know, some. I don't know if you have uncles like that. Say, I'm here because I'm your brothers. As I'm saying it, you must do it. I just want you to do it. You're not my daddy. Do you get the wisdom? Seasoned with salt. The opening of the letter, the introduction, the setting was seasoned with salt. In those days, we'll say Paul was toasting the man, ready to eat. Are you like that? Do you have a sensitive issue? And yeah, because you are aware of how potentially incendiary the situation might be. Have you ever had a situation where the person you're addressing just gets defensive? Maybe we should season our words with salt. Rather than say, my brother, maybe it's time to say, I don't even know any example. I'm not going to make one up. Mommy, do you understand? Well, she won't make sense. Kemi. Maybe it's time to say baby. Although you don't normally say baby. What? Okay, I won't use the example. I have to use examples I know. We went on evangelism and Sister Shade's phone rings. And I looked at the phone and said, honey. And I know she doesn't normally call him honey. I know there would have been a day where he saw Kule and said, hey, Kule, that's what I am. Okay, for peace sake, let me change it to sweetheart and honey. Because I know she does. I go to their house every time for Bible study. I don't hear honey. It's only on the phone. Seasoned with salt. And it works. It does work. He introduces himself as a prisoner of Christ. Seasoned with salt. He could introduce himself as an apostle. I'm speaking with you from a position of weakness. You are my friend and my co-worker. All these wonderful miracles that you are seeing, we're doing it together. To the beloved Appia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. He affirms this man. I think what he really wanted to say, I was reading the press correspondence dinner. I was watching the clip for the last one, I think, that Obama had in the White House. And he had a mood interpreter or thereabout. You know, they've always accused the president of being very smooth. You can never really know what he's really thinking. And people are wondering, man, he must be really angry inside. So he got himself, jokingly, an angry black man. So when he speaks in his gentle way, this man will come off and say exactly what he means to say. What Paul really meant to say here is, come off it. Come off it. You are making this man suffer. How can you, as a Christian, own a slave? But what he's saying is, I really thank God for making mention. I make mention of hearing of your love and your faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all his saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good, you know, those wonderful, sweet, sweet, nice things, you know, wonderful thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the heart of the Spirit be refreshed by you, affirms him, seasoned with salt. This was a powerful man that he was talking to. Do you know how to address your bosses at work? Do you know how to get maximum result? Do you give some thoughts into presentation? How do I not offend this co-worker of mine? Are you the kind of person that is the same thing unto all men, and you call that wisdom? Because we all have different temperaments. There are people that you need to go directly to the point. There are some that you have to joke a bit. There are some people that you can crack jokes with. There are some, they just don't get it. They don't get the punchline, so don't go there. There's difference. Are you the kind of Christian that takes some extra, put some thought, not just into what you want to achieve, but how you wish to achieve it? Seven, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. I ask you, brethren, what do you think Paul was doing there? Have you ever seen him write to anybody like this? Can't you see that he's deliberately buttering this man up for the thing that is to come? Sister Bola, I'm going to have you. I can't tell grandma to come, but I can tell you to come. Do you get what I'm saying? Does it make sense? Does it make sense, Sister Megan? Grandma, does it make sense? Does it make sense? Miraculously, it makes sense. Let's borrow this wisdom. Because ultimately, what we want is result. The maximum way we can get it. And the burden is always on the Christian. What's the use of the truth if it depresses the hearer? Right? What is the use of the truth if it's only because our joy is not to... Our joy is to see results. Joy. So if one method is not working, we change, right? And then he goes in for the kill. Because the fact that your speech is seasoned with salt does not mean you don't hit the nail on the... Is it the nail on the hammer or the hammer you hit? Hit the hammer on the nail. Okay, knock the edge of the knife. Try it at home with your knuckles. That's a Yoruba proverb. See what happens. Get to the point. And here he begins to do that. Verse 8. So therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting. Please watch the wisdom of this man and let's learn from it. It works all the time. You see, if you got a letter that addresses you in the first 7 verses, you are ready for anything. You are ready for anything because this person already spiced you up. It's not making you feel you're worthless. Oftentimes, criticism is easy to receive when you have given a lot of praise. Actually, all the time. Say, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is right, yet, for love's sake, I will rather appeal to you. Wisdom number 2. Number 1, praise works. Speak to the value of the person you are addressing. Then appeal. Don't command, appeal. Said, yet for love's sake, I would rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged and now also a prisoner of Christ. I appeal to you. Then he talks about the issue that he started with. Regarding Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Oh. You want to ask a question? What? What is what? A prisoner of Christ. Someone who has surrendered their life in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's essentially saying he belongs to Christ, right? Look at that. Look at that wisdom of saying, you know, I could imagine that this man was really angry that his slave ran away. And being the slave owner, he probably had made up his mind that, oh, these slaves think they can just run to Paul, and because it's Paul, right, that I'm just going to, you know what I mean? That do you get the feeling that so you think you can just run to Paul, and because it's Paul, you think I will show you. That's probably Onesimus's Philemon's mindset. Right? So Paul had to, seasoned with salt, address that. Said, I know he's behaved in a useless way, but he's come to me. And now, although he has behaved in a useless way, running away from you, I want to really, really just beg you. You know, Stacey, I just want to beg you. Right? I know this slave is useless, but now, having been with me, it's now useful to me. And also to you too. Because as you know me well. And you know, being with me, I would have added some value to this person. So now he's used. Don't be angry. Sister Kaik, what did he say?
No, I was telling them that they understand that
we have to be wise to be. Yes. Paul knew that Philemon was mad. So he... Don't be angry. I know this man is useless to you. But now, trust me. He's useful to me. And by extension, because I know you respect me, he's now useful to you. Don't let's fight about Onesimus. How many of you go about making your argument with such wisdom? Mommy, I know you really, really want to come to the U.S. And you know how much relieved I am when you are around. You know how much you cook. And I mean, there's nobody that wants you to be around as much as I do. The kids just love you. Most of it may not be because when mommy is around, maybe you are worried that what will mommy eat? What will mommy eat? When you rather just jump. Now there must be soup in the house. But you say, mommy, you know, even the girls are waiting for you to come, you know, to practice their Yoruba, do their hair and all of it. But mommy, let's just wait. We could just wait a few months. There's no money in the... I don't want to say, mommy, your coming is second priority. Wisdom. Mommy, you know how you used to tell us that there's wisdom. And by the time you are done, the person knows what you really mean, not just... I'm sending him back to you. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart. Mommy, has there been situations where daddy has had to resolve something, maybe a child, a very rude child, and the child runs to daddy. This is, and daddy goes, or you go, you this bad boy, you've run away from home again. What will I do now? I write a letter to your father. And then you are saying to the father, I want you to receive him back. He's my child now. Just receive him as my child. Of course, he's not your child. The child knows who the father is. It's just wisdom. The parent will read it and go, if not because of Mr. Lagbaja. And it happened to me when I was younger that I'll cause trouble. Then another parent, I will know that when I get home, I was going to get it. Then I'll go and run to another parent. Please let me beg. And the person says, okay, the person will go to probably your parents and go, please don't spank it. Please put it on me. I'll go, okay, bitter now, let me see you. Let's see, two fighting. But it's wisdom. And then because the parents see someone, they don't, you get away with it. And they go, if not for Mr. So-so-so, you would have. Where is this wisdom when we do? Christ expects us to exercise this wisdom all the time as we close. I'm sending it back to you, therefore, receiving, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf it might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntarily. Do you hear what this man is saying, brethren? He's reminding Philemon that Philemon owes him. You know, ordinarily as your apostle, you should be serving me. But you are not here physically. I could easily tell you to give me Onesimus in your place. But I want you to do it willingly, so I'm sending it back to you so that you send it back to me. I just want us to do things the proper way. Reminding Philemon that they are related on different levels. But without your consent. There are things you have authority to take, but your words should be seasoned with salt. Still ask for consent. Collaborative. Wives. You may have the money and the authority to do things in the house, but what's the use in doing what you have a right to do when it's going to cause problems? Our older women will teach us, and we of this age, we claim that it doesn't work. But they are not fools when they go, Baba Lagbaja, like they say in Africa. I was just thinking that we might want to do this. And she wasn't thinking. She knew exactly what she wants to do, and she would do it. But if she did it, there'll be fight. So seasoned with salt. And the man, and then when the man starts talking about it, he'll be talking about it as though it was his original idea. All you were saying to, all the time you were saying to him, ah, well, we should have built a house. Oh. Let's build a house. Build a house. Oh. And then, yeah, it's beautiful. And suddenly he built it, and all his relatives are going, hey, see Baba Lagwaja's house. Yes, I built it. And I said, this man was clueless before I told him what to do. But peace. And also women, seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt. God said, I'm the head of the family, so this is what we're doing. Boom. Do you know how annoying it is for an adult to hear, do boom, boom, boom? So you go, you know, I'm really thinking about this. What do you think? You already know what you're going to do. And then the words are seasoned with salt. And we do things with in honor, preferring one another. It is a very unwise woman or man or friend that says, what will you do? This was what Paul was doing here. I could command you, but I will not. I want us to do these things collaboratively. 15. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. Brethren, please, are you seeing this man's wisdom here? See how every line is building up to a good case, a friendly case, a peaceable case. How he's picking his words to make sure the person he's speaking to feels included. For this, perhaps he departed for a while for this, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Brethren, when people ask you what is the stand or the strategy of Christianity regarding slavery, it is right here in Philemon. We destroy slavery by love. The man without saying, set the man free, has compelled his master to set him free. He has said, receive your former slave as a brother. Tell me, when your former slave becomes a brother, isn't that freedom? Without mentioning the word set free, he has set Onesimus free. Then he goes in for the kill. If then you count me as a partner, receive him the same way you will receive. In short, start treating Onesimus like an apostle. Wisdom. Wisdom. That was where he was going from the get-go. And if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. Then he rants up the letter. But I want you to show, I want to show each one of us, because we are compelled, how he even rants up the letter. Now, his tone has been a little harder than the way he started. So he softens it. He softens his tone. He softens his tone a bit. And please let us learn from this man's strategy. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I'm not just typing. I will repay, not to mention to you already that you owe me even your own self besides. So I have the authority to write you this letter. Then he continues. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord, refreshing my heart in the Lord, having confidence in your obedience. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. You just destroyed someone with hard words and say, meanwhile, I like the kind of soup that you cook. I like to visit, you know. You know that cook that you cooked the other day? Let's have that kind of evening. I'm visiting with you guys. Come on, does that make sense? Does it make sense? Yeah. And then you draw the person in. You've just spoken seriously, and then you say, well, by the way, I like your shirt. Oh, your hair looks good today. Mommy, your hair looks good, by the way. Mommy, thank you. You've just been very hard on that subordinate at work. And you go, by the way, where's that lunch place that you always go to? You know what I mean? And the person thinks you are fighting, and then you go, oh, by the way, you have that fantastic sandwich place around the corner. What's it called again? How does the person keep fighting you? The wisdom of God. At times we just read the Bible blandly, but these are ways in which God expects us to put into practice in wisdom the things that he teaches us. To show kindness and empathy. The wisdom of God. You know how to talk to a king and how to talk to a pauper. When Joab was going to approach David, he sent a woman. Remember that story? When he sent a woman, Joab wanted David to accept Absalom, the departed. And then he used wisdom. He said, I can't just go to the king and start telling. So he sent a woman. He said, look, pretend. Go and tell the king that your relatives, that one of your sons offended, the other son did not, offended the other, and killed the other, actually. And now, because this person killed the other person, this one is guilty and should be killed. But you know, dear king, if both of them were to die, that means I will be childless. Please help me. And then the king said, don't worry. I'll make sure it's not there. King, you're the one I'm talking to. Your son, Absalom. And then the king said, Joab sent you, didn't he? Joab was a wise man. He said, so Joab sent you, did he not? He said, do not lie to me. He said, yes. Don't worry. Then he sent to Joab, said, go and call the son. The wisdom of God. The Bible said they wanted to test the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Pharisees, actually, I think the Bible says they wanted to catch him in his words, but they did not know that God's, Jesus's, our Lord's word was always seasoned with salt. Go and ask him. Give him a catch-22 question. Ask him, is it proper to pay tithes, to pay tax to Caesar? And the Lord looked and said, you hypocrites, you are trying to catch me in my words, aren't you? Bring out a coin. Whose picture is on it? Caesar. Give to Caesar that which is Caesar. Give to the Lord that which is the Lord. The wisdom of God. It's not every issue you have to address. Jesus did not answer their question. May the Lord help us. These are all things between the light. The Bible is replete with blessings for God's children. Let's spend time with the Word of God, so that our hearts will be instructed. Our hearts will be warmed by the Holy Spirit. There's wisdom for anything. We want to do an exam, the way to prepare, the wisdom of God. The wisdom of Joseph, who had 70 years, who told the king, there'll be 70 years of 70. Okay, sorry. 7 years of plenty, another 7 years of famine. Let's begin to put food away for the 7 years. Actually, the king said, you are the one that interpreted, you are the one that will be in charge now. And he begins. Meanwhile, every farm in Egypt had the same situation. They were not saving. He began to save. The king began to save. At the end of the other seven years, the whole of Egypt, all the land in Egypt was owned by the Pharaoh because of the wisdom of Joseph. The wisdom of God. Let's pray for wisdom. In our tongue, let's pray for the grace, because it's not easy. It is not. Let's pray. Let's make it a prayer point. I want to be like Jesus in the way he was. There's a Yoruba song, I can't sing it. I want to be like, he had a verb. Christ grant me grace to be like you. Let's pray for a verb here. You know, aren't there times when you said something and you just wish you hadn't said it? You said one thing, and it's normally the truth, but it's out. The elders have a saying that words are like eggs. Once it breaks, you can't put it together again. It's on your record for life. Wisdom. Go out in the wisdom of God, brethren. Don't do. Transcend your personalities. Let's put on the new man. Let's ask in the morning, God, grant me wisdom for every situation today. Wisdom. Teach me how to answer. Let your words be seasoned, filled with grace and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to give a response to anyone who asks. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we ask for your wisdom. This is not something that is natural. This is the wisdom of God. You said you will teach them to answer that very same moment, that they should not think upon what they will say when they bring them before kings and before the counselors and the rulers. So you are able to give us words. Father, open our eyes to see the way things are from your perspective. Father, give us the cunning, give us the wisdom to deal with every thorny situation, any accusations from unbelievers against us, oh Lord. They provoke us many times. Father, please give us the grace to deal with this. Let your grace rest upon us, Lord. Father, help us to be living Bibles. Let the words be ready at our disposal. Father, I pray that you give us humor to diffuse situations that require humor. Give us seriousness when seriousness is required. Forbearance when forbearance is required. Father, you said that though they may speak evil of us, they will behold our good works and give thanks to our Father in heaven. Only you, because we really just want to be like you. I pray, Father, that as we pray, you will pour this grace in our lives. That even when people want to accuse us of things, they will have nothing. The word said they sought to accuse him and found nothing. Not one word unfitly spoken. We need your help, Father. Help us. Thank you, Lord, for this moment. And thank you for the opening of your words. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.